morning, everyone. So good to see everyone. It's getting a little bit cold on us. I see some new haircuts here. Everyone's looking good this morning. Wide and awake, ready to study the Bible. Let's go to God real quick in prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson this morning. Father, we just approach your throne in the name that you've given us, in the name of Jesus. Just trusting in Him, trusting in His blood that covers us. We just ask that you'd have mercy on us, just forgive us our sins, and help us to be inside of your will, to trust you and to obey you, and just to walk according to all of your just wonderful commandments. Just be pleased with us right now as we open your word and help us. And it's through Jesus we pray. Amen. Alrighty, so we find ourselves this week towards the end of Luke chapter 10. And it's a rather small story, the story of Martha and Mary. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And this is one of my favorite stories. I just love this one so very much. And I think it's one that we can all identify with. And we've all found ourselves in situations where, we're given an opportunity. We can choose two different things to do. And just like, Mary chose one option and then Martha chose the other, I think we can identify with these. So let's read this, and then hopefully we can dive a little bit deeper in a second. So beginning in verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And the first thing, at least I see and I notice, is some positive characteristics here of Martha. Look what she does here in verse 38. She welcomes Jesus into her home. And right, that is a wonderful thing. And I think about what is said in Matthew 10, verse 41. The Bible tells us, "The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet receives a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward." So, right, can't this be said about Martha? She welcomes Jesus because he is a righteous man, because he is a prophet. So she's got that going for her right off the bat. And the second thing I think we notice here about Martha is that she serves him, right? And the Bible speaks highly about serving and service. We read in Matthew 23, verse 11. It says, "The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." So, right, here's the second thing that Martha does. Not only does she welcome the Lord in because he is a righteous man, because he is a great prophet, he's the one true prophet, but she humbles herself and she serves him. Number two, but yet there's something still lacking, right? There's something that she is overlooking. And that's what I would like for us to talk about this morning, to try and figure out what this is. For we read in verse 40 that it says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving." And she's struggling here with distraction. And it says that she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So, right, she does good on those two first things. She welcomes the Lord and she serves him, but yet there is one thing that is lacking. And the Bible speaks quite a bit about distraction. And the first example that I think of, y'all probably could think of some examples. I think of Nehemiah chapter 4. God has given Nehemiah a task to be a builder of the ruined walls of Jerusalem. And we find as he sets out to do this, many people, outside people, try and keep him from accomplishing that task, try and distract him, to take his attention away from that unified purpose of rebuilding the wall. And on the subject, while we're talking about distraction, I'd like us to look here at Hebrews 11 and look at the mindset and the attitude of Abraham and some of those heroes of the faith who went before us, and look at their example. So Hebrews 11, let's look at verse 8. It says that by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus, making it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And I think we see a perfect example here in Hebrews 11 of Abraham and all those other heroes of the faith. They had this, this single mind that was focused on heavenly things and was not distracted by the things of this earth. And for instance, if they had have been consumed with their homeland, God called Abraham to get out of your homeland and to go to the land that I will show you, go to the promised land. If Abraham had been thinking about the things of this earth, thinking about the land of his fathers, he would not have had the opportunity to go and pursue the things of God and to serve Him. So, right, Abraham is a perfect example of someone who is not distracted by the things of this world, but rather follows God and is obedient to Him. Does that bring up any thoughts, any comments to this point? Anybody? But I think that's something that we can all identify with. Just having so many things of this world just calling us and pulling us every which direction. Many times it's so hard to clear your mind of those things and to be like Mary and respond positively and be willing to sit at the Lord's feet. Let's talk just a little bit more about distraction and then also talk about having this single mind, this focus that the Bible is calling us to have. Let's look at the example that we have from Paul in his life in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. We get a little window into the mind and the attitude of Paul, and it tells us in verse 12, "Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained." So, right, we see Paul, very similar to Abraham. There are things that he is leaving behind, right? He's forgetting what lies behind, and he's straining forward to what lies ahead. And that's a beautiful image of someone who is focused, right? They're focused on the things of God, and they're not letting their past life, the things of this world, drag them down or be an anchor or keep them from advancing in the Lord, from moving forward. And I think this brings up in the text a perfect example. We think about an athlete who is focused on winning a game, winning an event, obtaining a crown or a medal, and we analyze, we look at their life, and we see what it takes to be at the top of their particular field, the dedication, the focus, all the training that takes place in order to be successful. And I think these principles that we're able to understand from the world relate directly to spiritual things. And I think that that's what Jesus is trying to get at here in Luke chapter 10 and also what we're reading here in Philippians. And I think I mentioned kind of at the beginning, this is a story that we can all relate to. We can all relate to distractions. We can all relate to things keeping us from doing things that are more important. And I think about in my own life. There are so many. If I had multiple lives, right? Think about if there were multiple Williams. I could plan, different lives where I do different things. I have desires to do many different things, but we have the obligation to choose what is best, right? To choose what is highest, of highest worth. And for me, that's seeking my very best to serve God with my time. Does anybody feel like they're put in that situation where they're pulled in different directions, right? There's not enough time in the day to do everything that we need to do. And maybe there's no time for God whatsoever, right? Does anyone like to comment on that or share? I'm not going to call on you, Elsie. Yeah. Put everything first before God. Yeah. Yeah, that's, and I think that's exactly what is we're talking about this morning. And those things seem like they cry the loudest. They're right before us. And they're pressing and they're urgent. They're calling for our immediate attention. And it's hard many times to say, hey, I need to be with God, or I need to spend time with Him. I need to read the Word. I need to pray, because these things try and distract us. Let's continue here in Philippians. This also, if we continue in verse 17, this goes with what we're studying. It says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. With minds set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. And I think this really makes it clear, really explains the contrast to those who are Christians, those who are within the will of God, those who are imitating Paul, imitating Christ, what that looks like, and those who are living according to the world. And I think it sums it up right here. It says that they have their minds set on earthly things, right? They're fixed. That's all they can think about, is worldly things. It's pleasing themselves. It's amassing riches. It's their own pleasures and pursuits. And contrary to that, God is calling us to have our minds set, to be fixed on Him, and to have a heavenly mindset that's set on pleasing God and doing His will. So we looked at Paul, and also we see here an example of Christ and what His mindset was. We see in John 8:29, the Bible tells us, and He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." Right? We see this is the perfect example of what our whole being is to be devoted to. Christ was focused. Everything He did was focused on pleasing the Father. And in the very same way, our whole being, everything that we are, the totality, the complete, every aspect of our life is to be set on serving God and His purposes. And I think this is really ties into to our story this morning. And when we speak, we just read in Philippians about imitate me, Paul says. And in the same way, he is imitating Christ, and we're to look at this example. So let's keep going here and try and summarize some of this stuff here. So we discussed that Martha, she welcomed the Lord, right? And surely that was a wonderful thing. And she surely has reward for that. And she served Him, right? And the Bible tells us the greatest among you will be the servants. But yet there's something that was missing in all of this. And let's look at what the Bible says back in Luke chapter 10, 41. "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" And I might ask, what is that good portion? I think Jeff hit the nail on the head, mentioned trust. Trust has to play a huge factor because there's so many things that need to be done. There's much serving. And in order to put those aside and to forget about those, in order to sit at the Lord's feet and to choose that which is better, you've got to trust that God's going to work everything out. And it's kind of the scripture, seek first the kingdom, right? And all of these things will be added unto you. And, right, the context there, you know, talking about how the Gentiles, they spend all their time trying to, worrying about trying to provide for the basic needs. When in reality, God is, He's asking for trust. He's asking for faith to simply believe Him that if we seek first the kingdom, if we choose what is most excellent, which is God, right? If we choose His will first, everything is going to fall in order. So that's a very good point. And it's interesting here how Jesus, He responds to Martha. He says, "Martha, Martha." And many times, I think it's just the way the word is. It's so convicting. I like to put my name in here. And just, I can hear it, William, William. And I don't know if y'all ever do that, but it's because this is, I'm guilty of this, right? I'm guilty of breaking this this commandment of putting God before other things and putting God before things that distract us. And I can hear the Lord, you know, saying that. And so, right, we're trying to answer the question, what is that good portion? What is it that Mary chose above Martha? What do we think about that? What is the good portion? Okay, the calling. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, we mentioned the calling, and that's very big in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus, He calls people to come, preach the kingdom of heaven. He calls people to follow Him, to be His disciple, and we have to be willing to respond to that and to answer that even when all the things of the world are calling us to be obedient to them. Right? What do we choose? Right? That there's a decision that has to be made, and it's not easy. Right? It requires sacrifice. So that's the calling. That's very good. So, but we're looking at what is this good portion, and let me just go ahead and go here. What was it that Mary did? It says in verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. And so I think that's it. She received, yes. So while Martha, you know, welcomed the Lord in, wonderful, that's great, while she served the Lord. That is incredible. But I think from our story, there's something that is even higher than that. And that is listening to the Lord. So there's a heavy emphasis upon this in Scripture to listen to the Lord and to sit at His feet. And I guess I want to ask the question, we determined, you know, what it is that Mary did that was pleasing to the Lord. Now we might ask, how do we do this? How do we sit at the Lord's feet? Does anybody want to comment to that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anybody else, how do we sit at the Lord's feet? Or what does that look like to sit at the Lord's feet? Or can we even do that today? Do we have the opportunity to do that? Listen to the Word of God, right? It's very, very simple, but I think many times we just, We neglect that, right? To listen to the Word of God. And I want to, in a second, turn over to Psalm 119 and look at that, maybe in closing here. But I find it interesting. I've heard it said before that whether it's a famous author or a poet, and some of the greats back in England, when they were still living, right? Only the rich and only kings could entertain their presence, right? Could talk to these famous authors and poets. But after they died, right, anyone who had their literature could read it, even in their own home. And in the same way, with the Scriptures, we can invite Jesus into our homes. We can invite Jesus to have a conversation with Him through the Word of God. And it's incredible, right? It's nothing short of incredible to have the Lord, to have that conversation with Him in the Word of God. And let's look at Psalm 119, verse 9. And I think that's the simple answer that this text is pointing us to, that it is calling us to sit at the Lord's feet and to listen to Him, right? Listen to Him. And how we do that is the Word of God. Let's look at 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on all your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And I think when we read scriptures like Psalm 119, we see the importance, right? It's hard to even express in words the importance of sitting at the Lord's feet, of listening to Him and soaking up the Word of God. And I think it makes sense now why the devil would like us to be distracted, right? To keep us busy, to keep us from sitting at the Lord's feet, from reading the Word, from making time. And you think about the example from Jesus early in the book of Luke, that He made a practice of waking up early in the morning. And so that's what Jesus did to spend time with God in prayer. And I think that would probably be a good practice. I think if you wake up before everybody else, then you won't be distracted by them. What's that? Ma'am? Yeah, and I don't know that we have to do that, but it's a good practice and a good solution. Are there any closing thoughts? We're just about run out of time this morning. Jeff? Sure. Yeah. That's a wonderful thought. Last thing in closing, then we'll have a prayer. Just thinking about having no regrets, right? If we choose, like Mary, what is more excellent, if we choose God, we are not going to regret missing out on the things of this world. But on the contrary, right, if we are to choose the things of the world over God, we're going to have great regrets. So let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we just come before you, and I just pray that you would soften our hearts. Please, dear Lord, help us to be like Mary and to sit at your feet, just to study your word and to pray and to become more like you in that practice, and in doing so to just produce much fruit and to bless all those around us, to bless your church and the world. Thank you for this time, and bless our worship service here in a few minutes, and watch over us and protect us. In Christ we pray. Amen.